In this week's Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor looks ahead at the climate for agriculture in the Midwest in the next century.
Coming up in early November, the Environmental Change Institute at the U of I will host its annual summit, a one-day colloquium on the topic Climate Change, Agricultural Solutions, Adaptation, and Mitigation. Next week, I'll provide a sampling of what attendees at that summit can look forward to. But this week, I want to set the stage for the summit by providing a quick look at the climate picture for agriculture in the Midwest in the century to come. This picture is drawn from a recent report co-written by U of I Professor of Atmospheric Sciences Don Wubbles, his colleague at Texas Tech, Catherine Hayhoe, and U of I student Ben Garrett. The report focuses on impacts from climate change that will require farmers to change how they operate, impacts that will vary according to whether or not people act effectively to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The higher emissions scenario used to make projections in the report assumes a combination of fossil fuel use and population change that results in an atmosphere with greenhouse gases at more than triple pre-industrial levels. The lower emissions scenario assumes a shift away from fossil fuels, with atmospheric greenhouse gas levels at the end of the century only double those of pre-industrial times. Under either scenario, summers in the Midwest are projected to be hotter. Over the next 30 years, somewhere between 50% and 70% of summers will be characterized by median temperatures that equal or exceed the hottest summer of the historical reference period of 1961 to 1990. By mid-century, according to the report, nearly all summers will be hotter than that, even under the lower emissions scenario. Heat waves are also projected to increase in number and intensity, but in this case the difference between the high emissions scenario and the low emissions scenario is pronounced. Under the high emissions scenario, for example, even Wisconsin and Minnesota would be expected to experience week-long stretches of 95-degree days every other year by the end of the century. Under the low emissions scenario, such weeks would more likely occur in only 1 year out of four. The report also projects warmer winters for the Midwest and anticipates how that will affect agriculture in two ways. It projects a decline in accumulated chilling hours, which results in the northward migration of corn pests that are limited by periods of pronounced cold. It also projects a decrease in productivity for fruit crops that depend on a prolonged winter chilling period to flower, including things like apples, grapes, and blueberries. The report points out that warmer winters will also mean the continued northward migration of plant hardiness zones, which are defined by the coldest temperatures of the year. Already, plants that used to be typical of southern Illinois can be grown in the Chicago area and much of Michigan. By the end of the century, the report projects, conditions once associated with the Southeast are likely to take hold in much of the Midwest. Warmer conditions in spring and fall are also anticipated to extend the growing season in the Midwest. The degree to which that is a benefit will depend largely on whether precipitation patterns allow farmers to get into the fields earlier in the spring. Are you interested to know more about the implications of climate change for agriculture? Tune in next week for a preview of the Environmental Change Institute's annual summit.
Rob Cantor is the senior writer with the Environmental Change Institute at the University of Illinois. To find out more about Environmental Almanac or to listen to it again, follow the links on our website at will.illinois.edu, and you can read Environmental Almanac on Sundays in the News Gazette. Support for Environmental Almanac is provided by the University of Illinois Office of the Provost.